Hey, I have a question for you. If you're married today, is money a friend or a foe to your marriage? Is money a friend or a foe to your marriage? We're going to download how to be intentional with your money today in marriage, how to manage it. I'm going to give you some really specific things that will be helpful, much encouragement, and open the lines to you to share your own story, what God's teaching you about money in marriage. Here at the Intentional Living Center, when we talk to people about what it means to be intentional, we often will say, live today the way you want to become tomorrow. And so when we think about money and marriage, I guess I'd start the program today by making the statement, direct your money today to where you want it to be tomorrow. In other words, intentional living is very directional. It's very intentional. And if money is an issue in your marriage, if it's a problem or a concern, it's because you and your spouse are allowing that to happen. And if you can change direction and get on the same page, some marvelous things can really happen in your marriage. Not that you're going to grow up and be, quote, wealthy as the world sees it, but you can start to experience freedom in your relationship because ultimately that's what we want for you. Jeffrey Dew from the Utah State University conducted some studies on money and marriage trends, and he really came up with some startling discoveries. He found that couples who reported disagreeing about finances once a week were over 30% more likely to get divorced than couples who reported disagreeing about finances only a few times in a month. You can imagine those who don't disagree at all. For wives, he found disagreement over finances and sex were good predictors of divorce, but money disputes were much stronger predictors. And for husbands, financial disagreements were the only type of common disagreement that predicted whether they would get a divorce in his study. And then he also found that rising consumer debt after a couple's wedding contributes to the instability of marriages among newlyweds. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:21, we're to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so when we come to the table and submit to each other about this being a gift from God, and we're going to make this something that we bring Him glory through the process of managing, maybe it's a small amount in your hands, or maybe it's a large amount, whatever God has blessed, it still needs to be managed. I would start by asking the question, and then we're going to get into your calls, and I'm going to share some other things that I believe will be very practical and helpful for you, because this is something my wife and I, over 40-plus years of marriage, we set out at the beginning some goals and some decisions about how we would manage money and do it together, and we've seen the blessing over the years. So I'd ask you, what is your financial goal? Do you have a goal, let's say, by age 65? Do you even have an idea of where you would like to see money be in terms of your life? There's a phenomenon that occurs in our lives called hyperbolic discounting. It's an economic principle. It's a big, complicated kind of process, but it really comes down to this. Hyperbolic discounting really says that we discount the future when we're faced with today's immediate needs. And what happens is, and the research is clear, if we don't think about the future, if we don't have a plan for the future, we'll tend to only see it in terms of what I'm going to spend or need or desire today. And that creates a lot of problems in marriage. All right, some real practical help for you coming. You're welcome to join us. Maybe you have an input. Maybe you have a solution you've worked through in your marriage, how God's blessing, or maybe you're challenged with something about being intentional with your money. 888-888-1717.
I'm Parkey Thompson with your Intentional Financial Minute. Money is often a difficult thing to talk about in a marriage. The longer it is not dealt with, the larger and more severe the obstacles often become. Neglecting the proper actions and joint management of finances will not bring health to your financial situation. Husbands and wives must work together. Regardless of whether both work, both must work together when managing finances. God made you to be one, and this is one area that you cannot choose to manage alone. Spouses need to learn from each other's strengths and weaknesses. Working together will help complement and balance those strengths and weaknesses. Have common goals. What does your future look like in 5, 10, 15, maybe 50 years from now? How are you going to be where you both want to be in that same time frame? intentionally and together set in place the goals, the milestones, the achievement awards, as well as the communication, the personal discipline, and accountability. Do you know what intentionally working together means? It means you're not working apart and especially against one another. For Intentional Living, I'm Parkey Thompson.
Thank you, Parkey. You just reinforced what I was sharing, this lack of agreement over money. You know, at the end of the day, who you hurt is really yourself as a couple. And if you and your spouse can't agree, you know, the world doesn't get hurt. It's you, your kids, your family. And when we don't agree, here's what happens. When there's a lack of agreement in marriage over anything, but money certainly is a high priority, we freeze and we do nothing. It creates stress and frustration in your marriage. It can lead to resentment. I hear people who hide money from their spouse because they can't trust them because they're not on the same page. We lose the opportunity to experience financial intimacy, which is one form of intimacy in your marriage, coming to an agreement over this blessing from God. And you miss out on God's very best for your marriage. And so, as Parkey just pointed out, setting some goals and having benchmarks. I recommend that at least every 6 months, after you put a plan together, you're reviewing it and talking about it, thinking about it, praying about it, seeing if you're on course. There are two extremes with money in marriage. Either you can care too much about it, and there are people who do. It becomes so central in their life that it becomes a dominant part of the marriage relationship, or they care too little. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, for instance, chapter 5, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This is also vanity. In other words, if your love, and we know the scripture says the love of money is the root of all evil, not money itself, but if you love silver, you love abundance, if that becomes the central theme of your life, then there's never enough, and it's never satisfied. Solomon goes on to say, when goods increase, they increase who eat them. So what profit have the owners except to see them with their eyes? I love this verse. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. And boy, there's truth in that as you see people with great abundance and wealth and how it can consume their life. So again, this is a blessing from God, and it's a matter of agreement. But wonderful things can happen. And let me just make this statement, then I'm going to go to the calls. I'm challenging you today, if you're married and you're disagreeing on money, and there might be some real serious issues where you need to get to the root of the issue and put it on the table and get some help, get some counseling, because whoever is most intentional about your money wins. So taking responsibility for your finances should be the beginning point for a couple. And when that happens, better things will happen in the marriage. Okay, let's get started here. Our first call, Laura's on the line in New Mexico. Hi there, Laura. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Doing well. How do you weigh in on this money topic today in marriage?
Well, when you brought it up a few minutes ago initially, I thought I have to call in with a story of praise, and I'm sorry if I cry through this.
That's all right.
Yeah, dealing with finances can be an emotional journey. And 8 years ago, my husband and I, we got married. We both had come from a place of divorce prior. And my husband holds a finance degree and a business degree. Mm. I too am educated, but I came to the table with about $10,000 in debt, which, you know, I was not proud of. I was quite ashamed of, but my husband helped me be able to chip away at it. And then through our faith, through our unified practice in going through the Financial Peace University with Dave Ramsey, mm-hmm. we were able to achieve some amazing things in the last 8 years. We are debt-free.
Good for you.
We own a rental property. We both work full-time, and my salary is put towards the 401k, the tithing, so used for very specific things, where we then live, you know, day-to-day off of my husband's income. But we're both in sales capacity, so any additional incentive bonus we earn per year, we put that away in, you know, additional savings and investments. And we do sit down with our financial planner, not quite 6 months, but once a year. And right now, we're both 44 years old and very proud to say that we have intentions and goals of retiring early based on what we're doing now. So we would like to retire at about 55.
Wow.
Yeah, so we've been just able to achieve amazing things, and it's been a very freeing experience, unlike what I had experienced previous in my last marriage. We were just kind of, we weren't following our faith. Mm. We were just kind of wavering, living almost paycheck to paycheck. If we had it, we spent it, and that's just not who I am today or how I live my life.
Now, Laura, is this people listening saying, now, wait a minute, you want to retire at 55, you're coming into this with debt and some financial challenges, second marriage and all of that. Is it because you have, you're making a great deal more, a lot of money, or is it because of being intentional in how you use it? What's been the secret of making this happen so quickly in your life?
It's absolutely been intentional in how we're choosing to place our funds. We choose not to eat out. That is, you know, if we're on vacation, then we have already put the budget in place to eat out. But in our day-to-day, you know, Monday through Sunday lives, us along with our children, we eat at home. We save so much money. Also, we don't drink alcoholic beverages, so that saves a lot of money,
yeah,
too. We just, that's not who we are. And so we're placing those funds and money that could just be very easily spent day to day, you know, into accounts for savings. And now, a phrase, I don't think it's Dave Ramsey's particular phrase. I think he has coined it from someone else, but the phrase is, you know, live like nobody else so you can live like nobody else.
Yeah,
I heard a staggering statistic that 1 in 2 people cannot write a check for $500 today if they had to. And that's a very scary thought. So we are, you know, trying to change the trajectory for our family's future. Each of us did not come from a place of, you know, wealth. We came from, you know, working blue-collar families who, you know, tried to do the right things and put food on the table for their parents, but not living, you know, a life of extravagance. So we just, you know, try to keep ourselves in check, not only, you know, individually with God, but being accountable to each other. And that's made a big difference overall. And it's just, it's increased just the excitement of our marriage. It's increased the thought of what this money can do through tithing and helping others. We volunteer quite a bit. My husband's on a board of a food pantry. I mean, the things that we've been able to do and achieve have been pretty wonderful, and we're able to touch so many other lives through this as well.
That's fantastic. Well, Laura, I appreciate you sharing your story, and it's not coming from wealth, but coming from, you know, like you say, blue-collar income, but it was making a decision to say, we want to be different. As I said, direct your money today where you want it to be tomorrow, and you made that decision to be intentional, and you're giving God the glory for it, and that's a beautiful thing. Appreciate
Absolutely.
Your call today, Laura.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, listen, Laura gave you the real formula there. And at the end of the day, this is a matter of bringing glory to God, but there's benefit to ourselves. That's what we say at Intentional Living. God gets the glory, and we get the benefit. I have a couple specific things I think will be helpful for you on your intentional journey with money and marriage. You're welcome to join us as well. If you have a question, you have a story, you have a problem, 888-888-1717. We'll be back here in a minute.
Prayer does work in difficult financial times, putting God first. It really does work. My husband and I have intentionally been focused on getting out of debt. And so even when we purchased our house, the focus was not what we qualify for, but what can we really afford. And so when we purchased a house, we got something that was still in line with what we were already paying. We have not held back in giving our contribution to God, even though my hours were cut. And it's just been totally God, and I think because of prayer and because of still putting God first.
That's good. Excellent. Thank you for sharing that. 888-888-1717. Money, is it a friend or foe to your marriage? Let me give you what I think is sort of the foundational principle for money, something that my wife Donna and I have lived by for 40 years in our marriage. And happy to say at this point, you know, we've gotten to a place where what we set in motion 30, 40 years ago, you start to reap the benefit, you start to see the blessing of that as a result of planting and seeding and watering and praying and trusting God. And that's what happens, and happens in the financial area as well. Here it is. Make a decision today together as a couple to spend less than you make on your immediate needs and your wants. As you just heard the caller, you know, maybe you're going to have to back off on eating out quite so often, or maybe it's reviewing how your cell phone expenses or cable television or internet or whatever expenses are. But make a decision to spend less than you make on your immediate needs and wants, and do that over an extended period of time. And I promise there'll be a day that will arrive when you'll be financially free and out of bondage. And as a couple, to put a financial plan together and then enthusiastically together pursue it and celebrate the results. I would tell young couples listening, at least the 10-10-80 that we teach, tithing, saving at least 10%, putting that aside. Maybe the first part goes into an emergency fund, then another portion starts to go into investments for the future. Now, if you're older and you're only getting started now, you may have to really throttle back some of your current expenses or see ways of gaining more income, because you're going to need to save more if you want to have a plan by the time you're 65 or 70 and you want to slow down to be able to have reserves. I know people who live on 50-50. They may live only on 50% of what they make, and the other 50 goes through generosity and sharing and giving and saving. Of course, part of the process should be getting your house paid off. Set a date for that. Maybe you have a 30-year mortgage and you say, we don't want to be 30 years making the payments. You go do the calculator online and see, by adding a little bit to that payment every month, how quickly you can see that house get paid off much earlier. Of course, getting rid of credit cards and the interest that are charged on credit card. Set a date to say you're going to pay off your credit cards. Look at the income and say, we're going to put extra money against those and pay them down and put no more on there. And you may need a financial advisor to help you in the investing process. Be intentional. Put your savings on automatic. Whatever it is that you're doing, if you touch it, if it goes into your bank, if it goes into your pocket or into your checkbook, you're going to be tempted to spend it. If you can put your savings plan into automatic, if you don't see it and touch it, your savings in the process, you're less likely to use it. And then, as I point out, I think it's important for couples to sit down every 6 months, or certainly at least once a year, and review that plan that you've put together. Have a plan and then review it. Again, money, and every financial advisor would probably tell you the same thing, is only a math problem. It's a math issue. And you can have calculators that'll help you. And of course, we live in the uncertain times of investing and so on. But the reality is, if you learn to live on less than you make and you do it over an extended period of time, there will come a day where there will be financial freedom, or certainly more so than you have today. But it begins by thanking God for what you have, and then also being on the same page, okay? Talking money today, is it your friend or foe in your marriage? I'd say to those who are members of our team that are listening to this, you know exactly what I'm talking about in the business in which you work or your family relationships, that when you act, when you trust God and step out, there's always going to be resistance. Everyone has it, and especially those who are trying to do something good. So my challenge to us and to all of our members this month is to be ready for the next defining moment, because it's coming. And you know what? It could come when you get a diagnosis of health condition you didn't expect. It could come as a result of a opportunity that presents itself. What do I do about this? It could be a challenge that you didn't anticipate, or it could come from failure. Defining moments, we all have them in our lifetime. And as I mentioned in that excerpt from the teaching this month, that may be in the middle of one right now in your life. And I often teach the staff and in my conferences that a defining moment can either be an aha moment, which is just sort of a light bulb going off in your heart and your head, and you recognize there's an opportunity to change or make some different direction in your life or deal with something that's not working, and God gets the glory and you get the benefit and the people around you do, that's a good thing. That's the way we prefer it. But let's face it, sometimes it's an oh-no moment. I've had a few of those myself, thinking, oh, man, Carlson, how did you do that? Or why did that happen? And you realize it was just because maybe of a poor decision or just having a good intention and not acting on it. And so this month, we want to help you understand the power of defining moments and to use those moments to bring glory to God and, as we say, benefit to yourself and those you love around you. Today, we've been talking about money. You know, that might be a defining moment in your life. You realize decisions you've made have gotten you into a hole and you're troubled by it. Hey, listen, you can make the decision today. Make it a defining moment to head in a brand new direction. When you do, hey, do it because God will get the glory. And you know what? When you do it intentionally and you do it in the right way, you're going to benefit. And so will those that you love. That's really what this whole ministry is about.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
Thank you, Kurt, and that's all true, what he said. And I appreciate those of you who are praying for, standing with us, part of the team, and living your life more intentional every day to bring God glory and certainly benefit to yourself. Talking money today, let's get Andrew on, who wants to weigh in on money. Andrew, welcome to the program.
Hey, Dr. Randy, how are you?
Good. Appreciate your call.
Good, man. Some months ago, I taught a little series on money and finances.
Mm-hmm.
And I was convicted and learned, you know, God's way of, you know, finances. And so I decided that to get rid of debt, you know, and I didn't have a whole bunch of debt, just a couple of things that I needed, you know, to pay off. And I did, you know, and besides a house payment, I don't have any debt. It is a free, wonderful place.
Yeah. So what was it you paid off? Was it credit card or consumer debt or was home or what?
So I had some credit cards and I had a car payment and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of buckled down and said, all right, I don't have any excuse now.
Yeah.
Because I just taught this, so I better practice whatever.
Hey, can I ask, about how much did you have to pay off and how long did it take you to buckle down and get it off the books?
Oh, it wasn't a whole bunch. It was only maybe a couple thousand or
uh-huh.
so.
And so you just diverted money into saying, instead of going over here to some other thing, we're going to put it into this and get it paid off.
Yeah, and I was working extra just at the time, and I was like, all right, I can pay all this stuff off. And
yeah.
I just buckled down and did it. And, man, it's such a blessing.
You know, there's the Bible talks about that the borrower, the one who borrows money, we become sort of in bondage to the lender. And any business person listening, you know what that means, even in your business, where you have to sign, you know, certain agreements and covenants, and sometimes you're putting your own personal house or whatever on the line. There is an element of bondage to that. There's a responsibility. And there is something that occurs that is freeing when those things get paid off, not only in a business, but also in your personal life. And it becomes a day when we say enough's enough and we choose to start moving in a healthy direction. Now, you may be feeling overwhelmed when we talk about money today. You may be feeling overwhelmed when you hear these reports of people getting out of debt. You say, I can't do that. I got a house mortgage and I got cars that I owe on and I got credit cards and I got kids going to college and whatever. And you really feel overwhelmed. But you know what? You're going to continue to feel overwhelmed this year, next year, and the following year. And maybe for your whole life, if you don't begin the process of putting into place a plan that will move you to bring more glory to God in the process of your money and experience more freedom. It begins with a first step. And maybe today is that first step to say, okay, enough's enough. I choose to be intentional. I'm going to put a plan together today. I'm going to start moving in the direction to give God the glory. That is intentional with your money.
Hey, Dr. Randy, this is Tony from Macon, Georgia, and I'm being intentional with my finances, and it seems like no matter how small my check is, when I give God his money first, there's always just enough to pay the bills and to make it to the next pay period.
I'm being intentional by tithing my 10%. I've really made a mess out of my finances, and I figure God's the only one that can straighten it out.
I wanted to say on how I'm living intentionally when it comes to my finances as a single person. I had not been as steward over my finances in the past. What I decided to do was roll up my sleeves and do what I could do, and I started my own small-based cleaning business in order to put myself back on track and me become a steward over my finances.
What a great series of stories. You know, as I'm thinking about living an intentional life, and today we're focusing on one of the essential areas about finances, which is a huge part of our lives. This thing of intentional living works. You know, it works for everybody. It is a law of life. Those who are intentional are going to be more successful than those who are not. The problem is that's true of evil as well as good. The people can be intentional about evil, and they tend to be, quote, more successful in that than those who are haphazard. So intentional living is a law that works. And when we take the law of intentional living and apply it to our lives as followers of Christ, and we say we want to bring him glory, and it's definitely going to bring benefit to ourselves and to those that we love, man, I can't think of a better way to live than to be intentional in our walk with Christ.
Just announced, Family Life Radio's Night of Hope with Dr. Randy Carlson and inspiring music by Jordan St. Cyr.
You've walked me through fire.
Dr. Randy will share practical steps and timeless wisdom to help you face life's challenges with confidence. Friday, June 6th at Haven Church in Glendale.
When I needed rain.
Sponsored in part by Compassion International. Tickets available at theintentionallife.com.
Coming up June the 6th, as John mentioned, you know, it's going to be a great evening. It's going to be a night of hope, both in word and in music. We're marrying both parts of our ministry. Intentional Life Media is Family Life Radio, where we bring songs of hope, music of hope, reminding you of the hope we have in Jesus Christ. It's a given. It's absolute. It's unchanging. But then there's experiencing hope, which is a decision to really experience it in your life, in your marriage, in your family. And so we're marrying both of those. Jordan St. Cyr is going to be with us to sing and lead us in worship. And I get to share six powerful things that are going to make a difference of living intentionally in those relationships that matter, starting with your marriage and your kids and your home. I hope you'll come and be a part of this. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com right now. Hey, God bless you. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.